Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. So it's that time of year where the bridgewalk has passed and the numbers are in, although this year, as we'll talk about a little bit later in our interview today, the target has been a little bit harder to kind of nail down this year because people are continuing to do their fundraising. But we did want to give folks an update on where we are, and in just a minute I'm going to introduce my guest who is here to assist us with that. But first, to let folks know that we had over 70 teams participate in the 150K for Africa endeavor, which was just extraordinary. So much fun, so inspiring. We had weekly support calls. As many folks know, we got to gather with the folks in Cantalumba several times live. That was a huge inspiration to so many folks. We're going to hopefully make those available so that anyone in the Sangha who wants to can see those at this point. And we had, of those 70 teams, we had $56,000, I believe it was, dollars pledged. And we blew past that goal to raise over $70,000 so far. So it's an amazing, amazing accomplishment, truly. And towards the end of Good News Updates this evening, we're going to tell you about some other fun things that have happened since then. But I'd like to introduce Sequoia, who is here with us to talk about her experience of participating in those endeavors. Welcome, Sequoia.
Hi, Jen.
Hey. It was fun, huh?
It was so much fun. Yes. You know, just having the opportunity to be on the call tonight and talk about it just brought, it was so great because it just mm-hmm. brought back all the memories and the whole process around the fundraising and how much fun it was and how close I got to being talked out of missing something so wonderful.
Wow. You know, Sequoia, I know this is not the point of what you're saying. We can't spend so much time on it. But what I just really saw when you said that was, I mean, you just basically laid out what's so powerful about recording and listening, right? Because what you said was the invitation to revisit this, to look at your experience,
yes.
the invitation to look at that this evening had you go back to that place. And that's it,
yes.
isn't it? That's that place of putting your attention back where you were.
Yes. Exactly, recording and listening.
So fun.
And
that piece about you almost got talked out of it.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah.
Very, very close. You know, it's just, yes, that was just the most, you know, this is a common process. There, you know, the invitation was presented and the heart just jumped. And it's kind of, you know, a little bit subtle. You got to be paying attention because, I know that it jumped because there's nothing this person wouldn't do for the folks in Cantalumba and love to participate. And just as soon as the heart jumped at it, just a big conversation about, oh, no, you know, I all of it. Everybody knows all of it.
Exactly. Yeah, we can go right there. Uh-huh.
Yeah, just a wet blanket conversation. And actually got wrapped up in that wet blanket for, I'd say, a week or two, you know. And then one day it was like, wait a minute, I want to, you know, there's somebody who just really wants to participate. And remembering that it was not about me, and that this was life opportunity to show up and be fabulous, and you know, I was not gonna stand there and not participate. So, you know, turning it over to life to see what might be of it possible.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the image you use is a good one. I'm not going to stand here in my wet blanket, which is really terribly uncomfortable. not at all fun. And miss life's invitation and that key thing you just said, this is not about me.
It's not.
In fact, this is an opportunity to take, quote, me beyond me. which for anyone practicing, we know what a huge gift that is.
What a huge gift. It's so thrilling. It's so thrilling to just open up into the world of possibilities beyond what this little tiny, you know, ego thinks is possible.
Yes. So then when you got past the wet blanket and actually jumped in, what was your experience?
Oh, well, wow. Right away, as soon as I saw that, and I said, I'm going to participate. And first of all, life just dropped in a name for the team, just boom, you know. And then that gave me courage to keep going, you know. It's like, oh, you know. And then it dropped in a figure.
Oh, we have a name.
Yeah, we have a name.
We're a team.
And then it dropped in an amount. And then it was like, you know, and then it was just so clear to me, I wasn't in charge here, thank goodness. And and then the excitement started to build. It was like, oh, wow, what's going to happen? You know, what's possible?
Yeah.
And then the rest just had, really, the rest was just about love. And, it just kept opening. And, you know, there was still that little bit of resistance when it came to contacting people, like, wow, do I contact these people? I haven't talked to them in years, you know. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, no, this is life, you know. And nothing could go wrong. You know, it's like there's nothing that can go wrong. Just do it.
That's right.
Just be the fingers, you know. Just be the mouth. Just be the,
right.
Yeah.
And I remember from hearing you talk in such an inspiring way on so many support calls that what not only did the things that the voices say were going to happen not happen, but in fact the response that you got was quite lovely and heart-opening in many cases.
Yes. You know, I've heard other people talk about this. You know, the people you think are going to contribute, you don't hear from, and then people just, oh, my God. I just never, you know, expected them to contribute. And it's like, well, here's a check for $100. And, you know, what a joyful thing to be, to just be the conduit, you know, to say, yes, to just accept it and then pass it along.
Yeah.
And it was...
go ahead.
Uh-huh. No. You go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that because I would project anyway, someone who's sitting down to write a $100 check, that's not someone who's grudgingly feeling like they have to do this thing. That would be my projection, especially given the story that I think went with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would be easy to project that that was a lovely experience for that person and that there was very likely gratitude for getting to participate.
Yes, when I said earlier it was all about love after that, that's just what it felt, you know, that's just what it felt like. That those checks are just written from love.
Yes.
Just pure and simple love. And it was, and to think that I could have missed that.
Right. You know what's fun, Sequoia, I'm just saying as you're saying that, but it kind of feels like what you're describing is a microcosm of sort of the larger process that at least I feel like I've received in all of this, which is that we talked about the reason we started the 150K, the way the idea dropped in for us, was that life basically gave us the invitation to up our game in the form of the exchange rates changing quite a bit. And so the dollar amounts that need to go to Cantalumba on a monthly basis are larger. And so it's so interesting because, again, that could be a place of like, this is too hard, or why is this happening, or, you know, any of those things could be sort of that conditioned no. But instead, through practice, we're invited to step forward and see it as that invitation. And through that, we've never approached a bridge walk season in the way we did this one. And it feels like that was our invitation. And so many people stepped forward in that, and we raised $70,000, Now, in case anyone's done the math, you'll see that isn't $150,000. So we need to raise more money. And I just, what's so interesting to me, I was so inspired to see responses come in, many, many responses to the summary email that we sent to folks, giving the, you know, where we are so far, kind of the information we're talking about tonight. And so many people wrote back, people who were not involved in the first wave of 150K, right? To say, how can I contribute? How can I help?
Yes. Yes, I agree. And, you know, yes, and we still need to raise, if my math is right, we still need to raise
$80,000.
And we know it's out there. And
yeah, exactly. It's that quote Sherry always says, right?
Exactly.
Where will the money come from? Well, from wherever it is now.
Exactly. And I think that's so interesting that, you know, the need jumped. And then, I mean, this year, I have never had people write or donate as much. It's like, just energetically, life matched life. Without me even having to say, wow, you know, it's really hard this year, and none of that conversation happened. It just,
You know, and through, I was looking at that, you know, through the practice lens, it feels like, well, we haven't had enough fun yet. We're not finished, right? And then when I was looking at that, I realized, well, when are you ever finished, really, with anything? Only conditioning would want to get finished with something, right? So we continue on because there's always more to see, always more to give, always more to receive.
Yes. Just that love keeps growing. And I have to say, this has inspired me again.
Me too. I was just going to say the same thing, Sequoia. I'm going to write another letter.
Exactly. There's another letter coming through here, you know?
And
what about those folks that didn't respond? You know what? Give them another opportunity.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much for being an inspiring presence for us tonight.
Thank you, Jen, for the opportunity to participate. Mm-hmm.
Such a win. Yeah, it is.
Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Claire. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Sequoia. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. That was fun.
Yes. Yes, it was very fun.
Your favorite project gets to go on and on and on. We like that. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, and
it
really
struck me. Favorite project for lots of us.
I was just going to say, it really struck me how much laughter and lightness there was between Jen and Sequoia, still talking about, you know, money to raise, still to go. From a conditioned place, it could have been a very not as fun conversation.
Yes. Well, and I love that. Well, I guess we just haven't had enough fun yet because it's not over.
Yeah.
There's the perspective we're going for.
Yes, it is.
So much fun to have. Don't want to miss it.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm here.
Me too.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Do you want me to jump into announcements? Do you want to start
sure.
us in another direction?
No, announcements are good.
Okay. 'Tis the season to be jolly. And yet, it can also be the season of stress. Join you, Sherry, at our new center in the Bay Area on December 3rd for a Time Out from Stress workshop to explore tips and tools for having a fun and relaxing holiday. Yes.
No reason. Again, it's that same thing, right? There's just no reason not to enjoy all of these wonderful things that we have in our lives.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
On the spiritual journey, we all experience undulations in energy, clarity, participation, and presence. A new Socratic email class starting November 28th offers an opportunity to explore how we navigate undulations in our practice. Everyone will have two opportunities to interact with you, Sherry, and receive guidance.
Yeah, I think the way it works is there's a period of time where people get to look at the topic and then, you know, say where you are now, and we have a conversation about that, and everybody in the class, so we get to learn from everybody. We get to identify with and relate to everybody in the class, and then we practice with that and then have another interaction and get to yet another new place.
Great. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's what we're doing. We're never done, as we've already established. Yes. Start the next year with a community of people gathered to practice conscious, compassionate awareness at the New Year's retreat, December 27th through January 1st in Menlo Park, California. The retreat features meditation, group discussions, yoga, guidance with you, Sherry, and free time to spend in nature on the beautiful, spacious grounds.
Yes, and, you know, I am not a fan of urgency, but I did see the a notification come through that we are very close to full. So if somebody is planning on it, please let us know. Don't wait, because, you know, we don't like disappointment.
Yeah.
Especially if we're the ones disappointing people.
Right.
We really don't like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry tonight, you can make a show and express that desire by pressing star 6 and then 1. And a conversation on one topic and about 5 minutes is really great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Sherry, let's get started.
Here we go.
Here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Karen.
Well, hey,
hello, Karen.
Hi. I just hopped on and just wanted to reach out and connect and
I'm so glad.
And, you know, say hello and gosh, what am I could tell you I had a great insight last night.
Please
so
do.
I could
do. We love to hear about those.
Okay. I am, you know, I'm in a big workshop or maybe a big retreat in my life. Last night what I realized and I said out loud, what this is teaching me is unconditional love. And and unconditional love in a way that, you know, I would say towards someone I never really had unconditional love for, you know,
uh-huh.
Which is really interesting, you know, like.
So somebody that you, if I may ask you about that, somebody that you would have said you love, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
With this experience, you realize there's another kind of another place to go with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Another depth.
Yeah, there were conditions. There were definitely conditions, and I won't say I've never experienced unconditional love in this relationship, because I have, but it would be, you know, brief, and then
right. Well, because we don't think we really need to, right? It's
yeah.
Like, okay, there's a moment of unconditional love, but you know, this is daily life. We're going on here, and And so, you know, I can go back to being annoyed, irritated, having conditions. You know, if you act right, then I'm going to love you, and if you don't, then I'm going to be upset. You know, all that stuff that we do all the time, right? And
yeah.
we can't feel bad or guilty about it, because that's
yeah.
just a complete waste of time. But then we find ourselves in one of those places where, no, actually, you know, we can't indulge that, because we don't
yeah.
have time.
Yeah. Well, don't have time and can't do the work that is required from that place. I can't do it from that. I can't do it. I have
yeah.
to move into a place of unconditional love in order to do it.
Yeah.
And
oh, that's such an important point. I have to interrupt
yeah.
you again, because if you were in a conversation of literally, you would not have the energy, the strength to do what's required of you in this situation.
No, I wouldn't. And I don't think, and I would be talked out of it. I think I would get talked out of it and, you know.
And then talked into feeling bad and guilty down the road.
Yeah, yeah. And I still actually don't know that I'm going to be able to do this. I don't know.
No,
you know,
don't.
I'm going to have to just, you know, but it's not going to be, because it's not going to come from a conditioned place. That's for sure. And if that happens, and I'm doing, you know, I'm just doing everything that I know possible to make it work. And but anyway, so that I would just say that is the gift to me, is just learning so much more about unconditional love. And and it feels, in a way, it feels impersonal, which is really strange. Like, it feels very unconditional, very loving, but I could see how it could be that for anybody, which is,
yes.
I don't know, it's hard to put into words. I mean, it is
yes.
definitely feel unconditional love for this person, but from that place, it goes many ways. You know, it doesn't,
yes.
it's not just directed
yes.
there.
Well,
and,
Karen, you're describing the spiritual experience, right?
Yeah.
I mean, from this experience, you could read all kinds of things that people have said down through time, describing a place of unconditional love for everything. And when we're identified with ego, you know, it's like, well, that's nice if you're a saint. But the rest of us, that's just not possible. But this experience has shown you that it is possible. It is possible
yeah.
for all of us. And what's required is getting out of that intimate relationship with ego.
Yes. Boy, is that ever true.
Yeah, and as you say,
yeah.
I mean, that's what you've learned for this going forward. That the thing that stops us in life, the reason that we get tired, worn out, can't do it, down, depressed, in the trough of the undulation, is not the life circumstances. Never. It's that conversation in our head.
Yeah.
You've proved
Boy.
That. You've proved that
yeah.
for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the last yeah. part about it, I think, is that I get included in it. You know, it's,
oh,
I get included in all of that. And
you get what you do.
Yeah. So
right, what you practice is what you have. So you're
yeah.
the first recipient.
Yep. Yep. I am. So
we get such a beautiful reward for unselfishness. Right?
Yeah.
It's so upside yeah. down to everything we've been taught. You know, you need to sacrifice yourself, and you need to be beaten into being the right person, and you need to feel bad about every, and there will be some kind of a reward out the other end for that. And, of course, that's just all horse pucky. And what you have realized is, by moving to this unconditionally loving place, you feel it. That's where you are. You feel it. And from that flows everything that you're asked to do, called to do. And what I project that you're also getting is that when something comes along that no matter how hard you try, you just can't do it, you'll be taken care of.
Yeah.
What needs
and
to happen will be provided.
Yeah. And maybe not in that moment, but that does happen, and it has happened on a regular basis. And then it is amazing, that exact thing happens, that things are provided, or there's a learning curve on, you know, for me, and for the other person. And because we don't know what the heck we're doing, you know, we're just doing the best we can and learning as we go. Nobody's written the instruction book for this. And so but it is provided. And there are the undulations. There definitely are. And to just let that be, you know, to just let it be, you know, just let it all be.
And the one that I hope you'll write in big letters somewhere for both of you to read often and smile in acknowledgement to one another, we are doing the best we can do in every moment.
Yeah, we really are.
And that's what you're going to carry forward for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Well, I will make that. I'll make that sign.
Good.
That would be really good.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you,
Karen.
Okay. Bye, Sherry. Bye,
good
Michael.
Night.
Thank you.
Bye, Karen. Thanks for joining us, Karen. That was lovely, Sherry. I really enjoyed that. Especially the part about unconditional love and how when I go there, I'm the first beneficiary of that. And everything else gets included after that.
Absolutely. And it is a place we can live all the time. And it's really, really important that we get it, that we are doing the best we can do all the time. And as soon as we know how to do better, we'll do better. And those voices that are telling us something else, that's the problem. It's not us.
Yes.
It's those voices.
Yes, exactly. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Corrine. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Corrine.
Hi,
how you doing?
Great. How about you?
Well, I think it's a pretty funny story how I ended up on the call. I'm calling from Canada, so there's a time difference, and I thought that we were 3 hours behind you. Behind, so I was trying to tune in 3 hours before the show. And with the total intention of calling in, and then it worked out I could try later when I realized, and I was going to chicken out and not call in, and then I hit the little button that's call in just to see what it was. So I know that I was supposed to, so yeah.
One of those perfect examples of we are taken care of.
Yes, yeah, and I had this, oh my gosh, feeling. I was like, okay, just going with it. So
right, meant to be. So what's going on?
Well, Sherry, I actually came and did a 6-month stay at the monastery back in, I think it was about 2005. I spent some time out there, and
I remember.
Do you remember? Yeah, and
I do remember.
So it's been a long time, and I definitely haven't stayed consistent with practice. But definitely used it over time, and I've just found in the last, 6 months, 8 months, that I've really started turning back to the practice and using the recording and listening practice. That really caught my attention and started practicing with that.
Good.
And so what's been coming up for me is, like, the same as when I initially came out. It was like my heart just called me to be out there and learning this beautiful practice. And What I find here, it's this sense of community that I'm wanting for this practice. And, the Sangha and the support. And so I've even thought of, you know, it sounds outlandish, but I thought maybe I could just move to that area so I could be somewhere where I can be with people and be practicing. Not necessarily staying at the monastery, but just to be close, you know? And, so I just kind of, then I've got a whole bunch of stuff coming up around that, you know, so just watching all those, that conditioning coming
like,
up.
Like the voices freaking out?
Well, they
like
are,
kind
but,
of stuff.
But then what's happening is more, it's just then questioning is, you know, it's the voice, is this my heart, is this ego, is this me trying to escape, and, you know, all these kinds of things. And then so I go, it's like I totally lose that feeling that I think came from my heart to begin with, you know, to even think of it. And it's like I'm just, you know, lost in all of that. It's like, you know, so that was initially what I did want to call in about, just to kind of look at that and have some guidance.
Well, yeah, and you're on to something really good with the recording and listening.
Yeah.
Because especially the two-handed recording is such a powerful tool for that kind of thing. You know, put the recorder in the right hand and let whoever wants to say something talk, and then listen and wait for the response from life. And as we do that more and more, and you may have already discovered this, it just gets easier and easier to tell. We just intuit where things are coming from. What we can recognize the voices of ego and conditioning, and we know what it feels like when authenticity is there and speaking. Right. So that is such a tremendous support for us in these kinds of situations. And of course, as you know, there's no urgency because we are now, we have become, since you were here, the monastery's changed a lot too, by the way, so you hopefully get close enough soon to at least, you know, come and visit. There is so much available at a distance that you can actually be immersed in practice from anywhere in the world at this point.
Yeah, that occurred to me tonight. It was like I came home from work and I was like, you know, I'm going to tune into open air. And it's like I saw there was like virtual sitting. And, yeah, there's so much other stuff going on. And I thought it's just kind of what you're saying there.
We do, I don't know if it's where it is on the website or any of that sort of thing, but we do a daily Monday through Friday radio show at 9 o'clock Pacific time. And it's not too late. I mean, we've been doing it all year long, but people are still joining us. And so you could write and find out about doing that. And then where are you in Canada? You're on the East Coast, right?
No, I'm in Ontario.
Okay. So what time difference did you figure out?
So we're 3 hours,
3 hours
later
than
you guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know, it would be noon your time. And so the way it works is that a quote and an assignment is sent out to people. And you practice with it all day. And then the next day people call into the show and we talk about the quote and the practice and what they've seen, and it's tremendously supportive. So you could have lunch with us every day.
Wow, yeah, this sort of thing. It's like, you know, and at the heart of it is really, it's like wanting to participate. I want that feeling of participation. So it doesn't have to be pigeonholed into just one way either, right? It can,
there's
lots. Yeah.
There's a lot, yeah. Oh, that's very good. Well, it's wonderful to hear your voice. I'm glad.
Yeah.
You know, I do wonder, you know, over the years, of course, thousands and thousands of people have come through practice, and thank goodness many have stayed. And then there are lots that, you know, like you, go off and do other things, and then we're very happy when you circle around again and say, okay, ready to practice again.
I'm back. Yeah.
Feels good. I'm back.
All right.
So we'll be hearing from you more regularly.
Yes, you will. Thanks,
All
Sherry.
Right. All right, good. Thank you. Good night.
All right. Take care. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Kareen. And Sherry, what I took from that conversation is the universal nature of practice and the desire to be part of something bigger that's beyond me and the little ego that has found itself inside me, and to see what's possible for all of us.
Yes. Yeah. And if there are other people out there in the same position, you know, who practiced in a more visible way years ago and then went off and did other things and are now back, I hope they'll be that courageous and call in and say, here I am, and, you know, I'm back, because you're welcome.
Yes, because it's only the voices that would discourage us from standing up and saying, here, I'm back.
Yeah, and to be talked into, oh, well, they don't want me, or they people will, you know, you don't fit and you don't belong, you blew it. No. Never,
exactly. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Zoe.
Hello, Zoe. You got a night off?
I did. Or I do have a night off, yeah.
Oh, very good.
How are you?
How?
Yeah, I said, how are you?
Very good. Very good. And how's Zoe?
All right, I'm hanging in there. So I just wanted to call.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah,
sounds
maybe.
Like wanted to call and needed to call, and you listened to that, and now here we are. This is good, huh?
Yeah, it's tough. I want to, like, run away or hang up the phone or, you know, just... but I did think of a specific question to ask, actually. I'm just having a little trouble getting it out, so I don't know. It's up to you. You could either take the next caller or...
Well, Zoe, tell what's going on. Let's just talk about that. What's going on?
I don't know. I made a commitment to listen to the radio show, and when I dialed in, I just sort of instinctively pressed 36 and 1, not really having a plan, and. Yeah, and so I don't have a good explanation.
Well, does it feel like you just needed to connect?
Yeah, I mean, I was feeling really isolated and feeling like I didn't have a spiritual community in a certain way. Kind of isolated and alone.
Mm-hmm. And you've been practicing long enough that you know the voices in your head have isolated you, right? That they talk you into you can't and not this and that's not possible and all of those kinds of things, right? And so you're isolated and, right. And then when that connection is there, it's just, I project, it's such a relief that here comes the emotion, here comes tears.
And I don't really know what to say, and I made a little recording earlier, and I was put the recorder in the other hand, and I was also kind of stuck, like I didn't know what to say, and
Well, I have an idea.
Yeah.
How about if you make a recording and I love you, Zoe, recording that talks about what a good person she is and how hard she works and how hard she tries to be the best person that she can be. And how difficult sometimes it is to go up against that negative conditioning, those hateful voices in the head, and yet she still does it. She reaches out. She makes contact. Right? She gets support. She supports. And, you know, there are a ton of things. Those are just things I can think of, right? But you know her much better than I do. So you could probably go on for a very long time with these are the things I love most about Zoe. These are the things I like best. These are the qualities that I most respect in her.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then take that recording and have her listen to it often, okay?
Okay. 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 Thanks so much.
Will you do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, now here's the hard part.
Mm-hmm.
The next time you have a Tuesday off, will you call and let me know how it's going?
Okay. Yeah.
All right, I'd appreciate that.
Okay.
Good. She got an assignment, and she's good at assignments, right? She is good at that kind of thing. You give her a task, and she's going to get it done. Another trait we admire about Zoe.
Thank you, Sherry.
You're most welcome. Take good care of her.
You have a good night.
Okay, good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Zoe. Sherry, that was just so powerful, that willingness coming through, meeting the guidance and the willingness and having the clarity to keep showing up and reaching out for support. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I think everybody ought to make one of those recordings, don't you? And even, you know, if a person could listen to it for, usually I say a month, which is, you know, that's the ideal. Listen to it every morning for a month. That's the ideal. But if people would listen for 2 weeks, it would be just such a change. And then get it in the recordings and have it just come up periodically and then add to it. Make one regularly.
Yes.
We'll think of new things. We'll be watching this human being and realizing new things that are wonderful about the person.
Great. And then we can all report back.
Then we can all report back, exactly. Putting those voices out of business.
Yes. And Sherry, we are going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
Excellent. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey there, this is Laura from Pennsylvania.
Hello.
Hello, Laura.
Hi. I am very excited to be talking to you right now.
Well, good. We're glad to have you with us. What's going on?
Lots of stuff, lots of good stuff. I thought of calling in early. Well, I've tried to call in several times the past few weeks. It just didn't work out, and now it did. But then I just sat down. I just taught a yoga class and sat down. I was like, oh, I think it's about time to call. So here I am, and I just wanted to reach out and say hello and also say hello to the whole community we have. I sometimes when I'm driving along, I hear this conversation moping, oh, there's nobody around that I can talk to about this stuff, and there's nobody here who feels the way I do about things or wants to think about their life. And then I stop and hear myself thinking that, and I remember we have Sangha, and we're all over the world, you know.
There are tons of us, huh?
Yeah, so I want to say hello to everybody and thank you for participating, because I truly appreciate it. And I also...
Because we need each other, right?
Yeah, we sure do. We sure do. And I also wanted to let you know that I did start a recording and listening practice.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It took a long time, but
it
I had
does.
Taken, yeah, for me to finally just do it, and I had taken that anagram email class, and I think almost every response was, what about your recording and listening?
I'm a good nag, aren't I?
Yeah, I kept
saying, I'm world class when it comes to nagging.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I kept getting yep. nagged, and I thought, okay.
Well, maybe there's something to this.
Yeah, it worked. It worked. And well, then the
well, say more about it. I want to hear your experience of it.
Yeah, well, I took the recording and listening training or group class. Thing. That was wonderful. That's where I got it. I figured it out. And so now I do a two-handed recording often. And if I don't have my recorder with me, sometimes something comes up and I'm like, oh, I got to get to my recorder.
And so let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that kind of, in a way, let's see, I don't know how to quite say this, but for me, I'll talk about my experience. It is such an experience of never being alone.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Because
yeah.
right there we have all the connection, the support, the unconditional love, the understanding, yeah. the intelligent person to communicate with. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I got the I understood what the mentor was or is.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And the mentor has shed light on situations that I've had in my life, like some stuff that I've held on to this past year, some content that it just bugged me all year, deep down inside, and I talked about it with the recorder, and some light was shown that came from me.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time, yeah. I was relieved from that suffering.
Mm.
And
wow.
I didn't think yeah. that would be possible. I thought that relief from the suffering had to come from the other person that this suffering was
yeah.
kind of from. And
yeah.
when that happened, I thought, wow.
Yeah, it truly is that anything is possible, isn't it? When we talk about ending suffering, there's a big tool right there, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I've started using it now with the holiday season coming up. I can feel myself getting a little stressed because, you know, I think of all these things I want to do for everybody and get for people and to show my love and show my appreciation. And I can't. I don't have the finance. I don't have money for it.
Yeah. I'm only one little person with this much wherewithal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I started recording on that because I felt myself getting, like, depressed or just really anxious about the holidays. And it's really, I love the practice. I love the recording and listening finally. And I just wanted to call in and let you know it's working.
Makes me so happy. I just can't tell you. So you can take me off your gift giving list, okay? Because you just gave me the gift. So thank you.
Great. Good. Good.
Put a check mark by Sherry. Taken care of.
I'll call everybody else on my list and tell them something wonderful, and hopefully that'll work too.
Precisely. I'm convinced it would. You know, to get a card from somebody that just says, I love you so much, and here are three of the reasons why. Whew. Yeah. Can't get that from Amazon.
Yeah, you're right. I like that. I'm going to jot that down. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Take care of yourself.
Thank you. I will.
All right. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Laura, and sharing more practical tips for the holidays. That's great.
Mm, I like that one, don't you?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, good. And we have another call here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Well, hello, Michael, and hello, Sherry. This is Kim calling from Vashon Island.
Well, hello there.
And, wow, it's been really a powerful show tonight. I've just been, the kindness that happens in the show for people that call in and, you know, that are struggling. I just appreciate that so much. I appreciate hearing that. It helps. It's a role model, you know?
It's how we can be with ourselves, huh?
Yeah. And it's how we can be with ourselves, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I have a little piece of karma that I'm facing right now, speaking of being with myself. And I'm happy to be facing it because it sort of comes up, it has come up all the time in my life. And I might need to give just a tiny bit of content, if that's okay.
Sure.
So, in the past, I've gone on this trip for the past several years with a group of friends, women friends. And this year, I decided not to go because I had scheduled something previously with my husband, and I really wanted to keep that commitment to him. And so I told the group that I can't go, and I feel now there are so many stories coming up around us, like they're happy that you're not going, and all of these other people are suddenly able to go who haven't been able to go in the past. And, you know, the story is, I'm seeing the stories, but it's hard. It hurts. Like, I can feel it in my body.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hurting.
It's so ugly, isn't it?
It's so ugly.
It's so ugly. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm just like, okay, I see that, and all right, okay, there's another story. And then, you know, and it ping-pong balls me back and forth because then it says, well, they're going to go and something terrible is going to happen to them on this trip. It's a skiing trip, you know, and And, like, I'm just like, God, that's so rotten, you know? And I, you know, I reassure myself, well, that's not me. That is ego.
No, it's
not. That is not me.
Yeah, and you know it's not because you've been practicing long enough to realize that I didn't say that. I heard it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that those awful things are happening inside your head, but you're not generating them. You're the recipient.
Uh-huh. And I
you
just
can,
don't know
you can
where,
see that,
where
right?
to go.
You
yeah,
can
I,
see that,
I
right?
Do, I do
yeah.
see that. I do, and I just want it to stop. Now, you know.
Yes,
and,
I know. We do. However, it just doesn't, you know, it's not interested in fulfilling our wishes, sadly. And so here's my best encouragement, Kim. When it happens, pick up your recorder and say, I just heard, and you call it by its whole name, I just heard self-hate. Or egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, if you want to. It's like the kids when you say, you know, whatever their full name is, when you're upset with them, you know. So I just heard this hateful voice in my head say, and whatever it was. And that
okay.
is so not my experience. That is so not true. I, you know, you could talk about, I loved my friends. And I feel quite sure they love me because they keep asking me to be with them. And I would never hope that anything bad happened to anybody, you know, like
right.
that. And
right.
every time you turn it around and move yourself to a place where when you push pause or stop on that recorder, you're in a completely different place energetically. And the power of that is to do it every single time. And if it comes back to it 16 times in a row, you just keep going to where you go with it until eventually it'll stop because it's not getting what it wants. It's not working. It's
okay.
going to wait until you forget about it, and then there you are doing something else, having a nice time, and it'll hit you with a zinger that just, you know, is like an arrow through your solar plexus, and
right.
that's what it's going for. And then you just say, ooh, okay, it is ugly. That system is ugly. That's why I don't want to give it any attention. Where I want my attention to be is on kindness and on unconditional love and caring for people and, yeah.
Okay. All right, I'll give that a try. I've been working a little with the two-sentence rule, but I don't think it's good in this case because it's like that's too many words for it to have.
That's,
you know?
that's too many sentences.
Too many sentences.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I have a renewed. Thank you so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's tough and good practice.
Yeah, and thank you, Michael. And I really, it's like I said, it's sort of been a theme for time, and so it's good that I'm happy to be facing it, and at the same time, it's, you know, it's painful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be glad when it's over. Yeah, I love this opportunity. Be really glad when it's over.
I love it. Yeah.
I know what
yeah.
you mean. All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Kim.
Thank you, Ruth. Also, thank you, Michael. Go happy.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Kim. So, Sherry, is it now the one sentence rule? Are we going to revise
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I think so. Or maybe, you know, the three or four words into the sentence where you
yes.
know what that is and where it's going. You just got, no.
Yes.
Now,
yes,
what I choose
exactly.
is.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. And we have time for at least one more caller, Sherry.
Okay, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael, it's Jill.
Hey, Jill.
Phil?
Jill.
Yes,
yes.
Oh,
hi.
Now I can hear Jill. Hey, Jill, where
hi.
Are you?
I'm in Philadelphia right now.
Are you on the metro or something?
Oh, are you having a hard time hearing me?
No, you just sound like you're encased.
Interesting. Well, I'm using my phone and the app, and so sometimes I use the computer, and so maybe it has a little bit different. It has a subway feel, I guess.
Yes, it kind of does, but that's not where you are. So, all right.
Yeah.
Well, what's going on?
Yeah. Well, I have just been twinkling through this whole show, and I agree. Someone said this has just been a fantastic show. Like I've experienced a lot of undulations through the whole thing, it really is amazing what presence can bring to just listening to other people. I mean, it's
yes.
I mean, it really is where it's at.
Yeah, we are one, aren't we? That's not just some idea that somebody had, or be a nice Coke commercial or something. It's really true.
It is. I really felt that in the marrow of my bones tonight, like that really, and just feel in tons of gratitude and just so grateful. I just feel very twinkly.
Twinkly, so, I love it. Is the season to twinkle.
Yeah, it is. And I will say the one thing that I was noticing being in the queue was, it really is just an incredible experience because, well, first of all, I noticed a lot of pressure that conditioning was putting on me to have something to say. So, and once I walked, you know, I saw that bamboozle. And then I just saw like a million things about just being in the queue, and you know there would be the caller was coming, the next caller was about to be called, and something would, you know, condition would be like, oh, I hope it's not me, and then the next one would be like, oh, I hope it's me, and they were just like all over the place.
Yeah, and you could say to conditioning, I hope it's not you too.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Amen to that. Yeah. So that was great. So I'm in Philly. I had a couple of days off from work, and so I'm doing sort of an intensive just retreat in a way. It's just been a lot of recording, listening, a lot of being in nature, a lot of just unplugging, and a lot of seeing, and it's just been really it's really extraordinary. And
a lovely time.
And the one thing I'll just say quickly is the one thing I saw was sometimes what comes in as guidance in my wherever is like to drop the story. And something occurred to me that I was noticing, I guess I felt, and I think I talked to you about this once before, about how I felt conditioning was convincing me that I had to resolve something within the story in order to drop it. Like that my relationship, it's just about my relationship with the story. It's not even about any of the content. It's what I'm dropping actually is my relationship to the story. I don't have to even get involved in any part of the story to drop it.
Wow.
And that's interesting.
That's a very subtle progression. And a good point for anybody who hasn't noticed that in their own experience, that's a powerful bamboozle. You can drop this. You can drop this as soon as you figure it out. But you have to figure it out before you can drop it. And of course, all conditioning has done is added that you can drop it, which it has no intention of ever happening, right? But that's kind of the carrot, right? So now keep working on it, because as soon as you figure it out, well, then you'll be able to drop it and move on.
Yes.
Right?
And so
what you're saying is that what you're really dropping is the relationship with the story.
Yeah.
That's really another whole step back or several steps back.
Yeah, it really felt like it. I mean, I was just really seeing how there was an expectation, I guess, that dropping the story, that that movement would somehow also resolve the content in some way.
Yes.
And it would bring me some insight that would help me go back into conditioned mind and resolve the content or something, you know?
Yeah. It's a maze, right? And
yes.
And every which way it has you going, you're going to wind up at the same place, which is
exactly.
In relationship with it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't have to get involved in like all of the words around it, I guess, which is kind of like what was being talked about at the previous caller about the sentences and all that stuff. It's just I'm in a relationship with that story that there is no information there that I really need. And so I just, that was a great moment.
Well, and it's astounding, isn't it? Because there's that time that it seems like, but that's irresponsible. You know,
mm-hmm.
That's crazy. You can't, I mean, this is a real situation in your life. This is a problem. You can't just pretend like it's not there. And then as we practice along, we realize, I can. I can approach it as if it's not there because it isn't.
Exactly.
The only place it exists is in conditioned mind. So I don't need to, I actually don't need to do that.
I mean, it
and
was
then,
even on, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'll remember where I was going.
Oh, well, I was just excited because I was just experiencing that on the call. I mean, even on the call, conditioning was trying to convince me that I had to have something, I had to hold something in my mind in order to say it and be intention about it, or else what, I don't know. But, you know, it's just really seeing how that process is like, you know, it's happening at every sort of size and shape and, you know, that
Well, that's very good because that's where I was going to. I love that great mind thing. That we have to face that moment of, no, I'm going to drop this and I'm going to face that there's not going to be anything there.
Right.
Because that's what it would tell you is the next, okay, great. You're going to drop it and you're just going to fall off into a void.
Right.
And we have to say, okay. And, of course, as soon as we fall off into that void, we realize, oh, that's presence. I'm here. Oh, this is great. I love this.
Right,
but until we have the experience, it's very scary.
Yeah. Yeah, and what's dropping in is just like that moment when I realize like a deep breath is like a perfectly acceptable response to anything.
Yes.
You know, it's like
to anything.
So
I can wiggle my toes, wiggle my fingers, take a long, deep breath, look around, listen closely.
Yep.
I'm fine.
Yeah. Just because somebody says something to me, I don't have to. I can still take that deep breath. Like it doesn't.
Yeah.
I'm not going to die from it. You know.
Anyway. Ego might, but you're not.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Jill. I'm glad you're having a retreat.
Yes.
Very lovely. Much to be thankful for this season, huh?
Oh, it's unbelievable. It is. I mean, from the first moment of this show, too, and just with the Cantaloma discussion and everything about it. Like, I'm so grateful. So.
Me too.
Thank you.
All right. Enjoy. Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Good night, Michael.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Jill. And Sherry, thank you both, because I had a big aha in there about not needing to figure out the content before dropping the story. So I can just cut out the middleman, as we say, and drop the story right from the get-go. No figuring it out, no relationship needed, no nothing.
That's right. Yeah, and we can get a sense when you say that dropping it creates a great big space. And into that face can drop clarity, options, possibilities. And those are, that space is not available if we are busy noodling around in conditioned mind trying to figure out something, anything.
Yes. And typically, as you know, retracing the same steps that I have retraced 10,000 times before.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me go over it one more time. I'm sure that, yeah, again, you know, that's why that expression has become a cliche. Doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. That's the definition of insanity. Why did that get so popular? Because everybody knows that and does it all the time.
Yes, yes, it's true.
Yeah. It's all in this together, isn't it?
It could
feel downright bad if we didn't know we were just like everybody else and we're all doing the same thing and we're fine.
Yeah, it's very relaxing. It's very relaxing, thanks to practice.
Yes.
And a very happy Thanksgiving to you and to everyone. And I'm super grateful.
Well, and to you, sir, and yours.
Yes,
I look forward to talking with you after Thanksgiving.
Perfect.
That's all that will happen, right? Thanksgiving will be over. That's what will happen. All right. Yeah.
Yes.
Have a great time. And, yes, everybody, go happy. Treasure yourself. Enjoy.
Yes.
Like that.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you, Sharon.
Good night, Michael. Thank you.
Good night.